proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. Bill Winston Ministries is bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ and teaching them how to walk in a victorious life. We invite you to receive all the blessings that God has for your life. Bill Winston Ministries presents The Believer's Walk of Faith.
Hello, I'm Bill Winston. Welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. We have an exciting program for you today. We have something that needs to be talked about in the body of Christ. It's called Character and Integrity. Now, this is under that topic we call No More Toil. Toil has to do with struggling and trying to make ends meet, and just every day it seems like you don't have enough. That's a struggle. That's not the promised land that God promised us. This is a place where God has redeemed us from. Now, how do you get out of it? One of the biggest reasons for struggling in the body of Christ is a lack of character and integrity. You remember how the enemy will try to lift people up, or if you know about some people have gone to high-profile positions and so forth in the public eye. All of a sudden, got embarrassed. This was found out about their lives. They did something that Christians and people of God shouldn't do, so forth and so on. Next thing you know, they're embarrassed. Some people end up in jail. What can I say? I'm saying no more toil. We should be people of character and integrity. Well, I've done a teaching to develop that character and integrity in the life of the people of the body of Christ, and we're going to go into it right now. So get your Bibles and pencils and papers ready. It's an excellent teaching. Let's go into it. It's called No More Toil. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. All right, are you there? Look what it says in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, I've looked up another translation. It says hard times. Another one says times of great stress. Another one says times hard to deal with. Matter of fact, the Living Bible says in the last days it's going to be hard to be a Christian. Well, wait a minute now. Let's see why. Let's go on down. I'm going to read on down. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, that's one of the things that we're seeing today. You know? And covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such do what? Turn away. All right, I want to read that out of the Living Bible, because it helps with another degree of understanding. It says, for people will people will love only themselves and their money. They will be proud and boastful, sneering at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful to them, and thoroughly bad. They will be hard-headed, I know some of them now, and never give in to others. They will be constant liars and troublemakers. They will think nothing of immorality. They will be rough and cruel and sneer at those who try to be good. They will betray their friends. They will be hot-headed, puffed up with pride, and prefer good times to worshiping God. Y'all don't mind if I preach this, do you? They will go to church, yes, but they won't really believe anything they hear. Don't be taken in by people like that. These are the last days, folks. It's talking about right now. This is what they're going to be. I'm thankful to parents, all that they've done for them. They're going to be liars. They'll lie to you and lie to me just as quick as they'll lie to anybody else. They're going to sneer at the things of God that mean something in this life, that give a quality of life. They'll sneer at those things. I'm talking about these are the same people that the Bible characterizes here, that in one way or another, all of us were.
We were boastful. We were caring about ourselves. Now, don't act like you had everything together all the time, or else I'm going to cast that lying devil out of you. You follow what I'm saying? All of us are working on something. If you're working on something, raise your right hand. Praise God. Now, if you didn't raise your hand, let me look around and see if everybody raised their hand. All right. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that, let's go over to verse 12, please. Have you got it? Say praise the Lord if you're there. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. So, if you come into a world like that, and you don't just care about you, but you care about them, then you're going to stand out like a whale thumb. I'm not going to say sore thumb, because you're going to be a whale thumb. But you're going to stand out because people are going to be selfish in the last days. They don't care about nobody else. Ain't nobody but me. This is me, baby. Me, baby. All this, this is me. And they're going to care. That's the one they're going to care about. And they don't care about you. They'll use you just as quick as they'll use anybody else. Say amen to this. So, now let's keep warning this now. Praise God. All right, y'all with me? All right, so what's happening? The church is not supposed to be detached from society. What people do is they try to come in here, and they come in here, and this is the only place you know that they're church folk. But the church is established to manifest a superior kingdom in the world by mainly influence. I'm not talking about going in your job shouting, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. I didn't say nothing like that. I'm talking about you and they're watching your lifestyle. Say amen to this. Sunday, you come in here and you get established in new values, in new principles, in a new culture, and a new kingdom. And then on Monday, you hit the street. You go out to your job. Now, you may be in business, you may be in media, you may be in electronics, you may be in entertainment, you may be in education, you may be in medical field, you may be in science field, factory, you may be in politics, you may be in a stay-at-home mom or dad. I'm just saying, whatever it is, you're going to take the values and the operation of a superior kingdom into that environment, and you're going to take it in there through influence. In other words, you're going to come into that place to subdue your sphere of influence through the culture of the kingdom. You're coming in here to learn how to act so you can act out there. Say amen to that. Now, all of us need to learn how to act because we didn't know how the kingdom act. We knew how we were supposed to act in terms of what been taught us, but there are some things that we got to add to that. There's some things that we got to know. And I'm saying that these things will come and they will be a part of you. Now, when you go out there, you're not going out there to hate nobody. Go over to Luke's gospel and chapter 6 with me, please. And look at verse 35. Have you got it? Say, praise the Lord for me. But love your enemies and do good to and lend hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be what? Great. And you shall be the children of the who? Highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Wow. He who? God. God is kind to who? Unthankful and the evil. Are you supposed to imitate him? Amen. So I'm saying they may be talking about you, but you're still going to be kind to the unthankful and evil. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying that when you start acting like this, people are going to know there's something different about you. Now, let's go to Ecclesiastes and chapter 9, please. Verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Now, that's one reason you don't want to be poor, because no one want nobody to listen to you. Look at verse 17. The words of a wise man are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Look at the next verse. Wisdom is better than what? Weapons of war. See, you ain't got to pull no gun on nobody. All you got to do is have the wisdom of God, and the Bible says that nobody can gainsay or resist the wisdom of God. Folks, that's how we got in here. It was the wisdom of God. I had sent the lawyers over there, and they had gone and met with the people over there and so forth, and they declared we couldn't get in here. And the lawyers came back, said, Pastor, guess you're just going to have to sue them. I said, well, how long is that going to take? He said, that could take about 5 or 6 years. I said, 5 or 6 years? Man, I got to be in there tomorrow night. I don't have nowhere to take these people. So what did I do? Went home, went to bed early, got up early, and prayed in tongues. Prayed in the spirit. What am I doing when I pray in the spirit? I'm dipping down into a stream of wisdom and bringing it back up. So then God told me step by step what to do, and I did it step by step, and you're in here. You follow what I'm saying? I'm saying nobody can resist the wisdom of God. It is better than a weapon of war. Okay? All right, we're still rolling now. Amen. Now, let's look at what happened to the church. Now, what went on here? The organized church, for the most part, had been run by a lot of intellectuals. And what we got to do is take it back to where it's supposed to be, over into the anointing. It's got to come back over there where when people come in the church and they come in here and got a problem, they leave out of here without it. Say amen to that. They come in here sick, leave out of here well. Come on now. Come in here depressed, leave out of here full of joy. Come on now. Come in here crippled, leave out of here walking. Come on. I'm just saying that if you got a bunch of unbelief, and what has happened is we've gotten more intellectual because we're so civilized than we've got spiritual with the spiritual power of God. What has happened to the church? The church has been trying to be friends with the world. The church has been trying to be friends with the world. Let's look at that. Turn to James, please, and James chapter 4. And look at verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the what? World is a what? Enmity with God. Now, in case you don't know what that means, look at the next part. Whosoever therefore will be a what? Friend of the world is a what? Is an enemy of God. Now, what is this saying? It didn't say don't love the world. It just says your relationship with the world has to be kept at a place where the world is not changing you, but you are changing, come on, the world. So last time we talked about the difference between a thermostat and a what? Thermometer. We said a thermometer really measures what the conditions are, and it adjusts itself according to the conditions that it is placed in. But a thermostat changes conditions. You dial in what you want, and it will change the circumstances around you. Say amen to that. So what are we supposed to be? A thermostat. We're supposed to be the kind of people that will go into an environment, and when that environment needs to be changed, we'll dial it in our thermostat, we'll get the Word of God, and stand on the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. When God said, let there be light, what happened? God's Word changed the conditions of the earth. Now, let me ask you, is this the same word that God used? Same word. So if you get it in you and you stand on it, it will change everything in your environment. It's got to change. Can't you see what I'm saying? The power of God. Look how this village has changed. I'm talking about since people been here and been standing on the word. We didn't go and try to change nobody. We were just being Christians. We were just being who God says we are. Are you following what I'm saying? So you go in those environments, and a lot of things that they're doing, you don't need to do. Well, Pastor, if I don't do that, the boss man won't recognize me, and I won't get promoted or something. No. That's not what it takes to get the business, honey. Come on now. You ain't got to get drunk with them to get the business. Come on now. Come on, help me now. You ain't got to smoke no reefer with that brother. Come on now. Come on. Hey, come on. Don't have me talk about you now. You see, what we've been doing is letting the world come in and affect us. And what we got to do is stop that. That is a mentality that the enemy wants. And he wants you to feel like if you don't do that, you won't be accepted. I got good news for you. You are accepted in the beloved. God has already accepted you. And what you are put in those circumstances to do is change other people. Let me tell you, my friend, when they see you won't change, it's going to be something about you that's going to attract them to you. When they see, listen, they saw my life and I wouldn't change. You see, when I got saved, I got really saved. I didn't get halfway saved. I didn't get three-quarters saved. I got saved from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I didn't want nothing but Jesus. All right, now, let's just look at this. Say amen, somebody. Now, let's define a couple of terms because I'm about to hit something now. I ain't got into it yet. I'm about to get into it here now. See, this is what's happening. The word integrity has to do with the entire unimpaired state of anything. It means moral soundness. It means purity. It means incorruptness. It means uprightness. It means honesty. Random House Dictionary defines it this way: adherence to moral and ethical principles. Somebody said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And I believe that to be true. You see? And the word character means this: the participation, the particular qualities impressed by nature or habit on a person which distinguishes him or her from other people. In other words, it's distinguished good qualities of an individual, those which are esteemed and respected. Character. And one of the things it's happening is Martin Luther King said it. He said, the time is coming where a man will not be known by the color of his skin, but by the content, come on, help me now, of his character. I'm telling you, we're coming to a time that people don't care what color you are. It's, are you telling me the truth? Because you go to a lot of places and they'll lie to you just as quick as look at you. Come on now. They'll say they fix your car and put something on it. Ain't never put that on it. Put some old broken down part on it. They'll work on your house and take some old secondhand stuff and claim that they bought some new stuff to work on your house. Come on. The doctors work on somebody and left the scalpel in there after he sold them up. Come on now. I'm just saying a lot of things happen, and it points back to integrity. I'm not saying that people are mean. I'm saying that we haven't been taught integrity. Integrity is something that people have set to the side, and I don't know why we've set it to the side, because it's the main ingredient. It's the main reason why everything else works. You'll find that even when a person's life is just totally over or destroyed or something comes against them, the only thing they have left is their integrity. Come on over with me to Job, please. Come on over to Job. Job chapter 2, please. Job chapter 2. Oh, we're going to clean you out here today. You came into the right place. Say amen to that. Because remember, you just aren't born with integrity. Integrity has to be taught. It has to be developed in every one of us. Every one of us comes in this thing lying and signifying. We come with the thinking of the world. But I'm about to make you rock solid in Jesus' name. You about to say what you mean and mean what you say. Look what it says in Job. Now, how many of y'all remember Job? Look at me. How many of y'all remember Job? And Job's life. Remember, Job had a really difficult time. He was a man, and if you look at the first verse, it gave his financial statement. Talked about how many cattle he had, how many camels, so forth and so on. So Job was the wealthiest man in the East. Here comes the devil. He's coming after him because Job's been blessed by God. Now he comes after and said to God, Job, he's just serving you because what you've done for him. And he said, if you just take that stuff away from him, he'll curse you to his face. But what he didn't know, the devil didn't know at that time, that Satan, the hedge in Job's life was down, and Satan could attack him. Now, Satan couldn't get him before because the hedge was up. But what Job did is Job began to look at the display or character of his kids. And he'd been looking at them because they was busy over there having parties, getting drunk and smoking reef all the time. And what happened is he took his eye off the Word of God, because the Word of God says the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. It didn't say your seed might be delivered. It said the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. That is a promise from Almighty God. And God can deliver anybody. If he has to wake him up in the middle of the night, if he has to send a donkey to talk to him, if he has to send a bird to bring him something, if he has to give him, I'm telling you, God can deliver them. I remember Jesse Duplantis saying that here he was, knocked out his head on cocaine. Here he was. He was he was in the club, and he was playing, he was playing with, the rock groups and everything, hair down all the way in his back, and here he was in the club just about setting up, getting ready to play, and somebody came and told him, Jesse, you got a phone call. He said, a phone call? He said, who knows I'm here? He said, I don't know. You got a phone call. Hello? Jesse? That was his mama. Jesse? Jesse? Get out of that place. Jesse said, mama, how you know I was here? The Lord told me you was there. The Lord told him, her, where he was in another state. And she prayed for that boy who was out of his mind on cocaine, and now he's one of the biggest evangelists all over the world today. Don't tell me what God can't do. He can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick, because he's God all by himself. All you need to do is integrity. Stand on that word and stay there. Look in Job chapter 2 and look at verse 9. Say amen to this. Amen. Then said his wife to him, do you still retain your what? Integrity. You see, it's kind of interesting how the enemy was after Job's integrity. Now, I know he was after his money and all the wealth and so forth, but he knew that he had to get to Job's integrity for him to do real damage to Job. And he never got Job's integrity. Job kept his integrity, and guess what? Because he kept it, what did Job end up with in chapter 47? Twice as much as he had before. Folks, if you just hold on to the altar, hold on to the unchanging Word of God, and when it looks bad and you done all that you can do to stand, you dig in and stand, because something is about to change. Oh, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoyed that teaching. Now, integrity is something that we must talk about today. Character and integrity. We must be people of our word. We must be people of honesty about ourselves. One man said, first to thine own self be true. It's amazing how we lie to ourselves sometimes, or lie to other people, or be deceiving or something like that. Now, that's a part of the world. That's not supposed to be in the church. We're supposed to be people of love, people of the word, and people of integrity. So integrity, that's something inside of you that when you get into a situation that's unexpected, a situation that's trying to get you to conform to the world, you'll stand fast and be victorious. Now, the address and phone number are on your screen. You probably need to order this right away. Let me tell you, every one of us need a little tune-up in this area of character and integrity. So don't be ashamed of it. Order the series. Praise the Lord. Well, this is Bill Winston. That's all we have for this time. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
Character. Are you a person who keeps their word? Integrity. What you do when no one is watching. Character and integrity are not qualities that you are born with. They must be developed.
Lack of integrity makes the access into the promised land impossible. So it's key for you and me to understand that we all have to have integrity in our lives if we're going to end up in the destiny that God has planned for us.
Character and integrity, requirements essential to getting into God's rest, is a must-get companion to the No More Toil series. In this new series by Dr. Bill Winston, you'll learn that character and integrity will guide and protect you in life.
Every one of us has to develop integrity and character. Everyone, we have to develop it, folks. It is not something that is automatic, that comes with birth. It's something that has to be developed in us. So I'm starting this to develop you in integrity and character.
Order No More Toil, Character and Integrity today. And Dr. Winston will explain how integrity will preserve you in every situation. Why the church must have integrity in order to change the world. Why God promotes you on character and not on skills, and much more.
What we're training you up for is character. And we're training you up to make sure that whatever comes in your life, you're going to be a person of integrity. Say amen to that. You're going to be a person of truth. You're going to be a person of honor.
To order your copy of No More Toil, Character and Integrity, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. God wants His people to possess every promise in the Word of God. To do this, we must be people of character and integrity. Order your copy of No More Toil, Character and Integrity today.
While in the Chicagoland area, Pastor Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center. We're located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois, just 20 minutes from downtown Chicago. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We have Spanish translators and sign language for the hearing impaired. A warm seat awaits you at Living Word Christian Center. For more information, please call 708-697-5000. Today's message is available in its entirety on CD or DVD when you use the product number on your screen by writing to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. Next week on the Believer's Walk of Faith.
He told Joshua two things: be strong, come on, and of good courage. You got the word, now be courageous enough to stand on it.